Well, we are living indeed, I think, in curious days, and now it would appear that unless you have lived somebody else's experience, you are rendered incapable of empathy or even of understanding, and certainly you are rendered incapable of speaking to those whose experience you do not share. So, men, you keep quiet about any issues that your wife might bring to you. And if you're white, you're not permitted to speak about black issues. If you're, oh, and so the list goes on. Well, I think if we're turning to Scripture and follow that kind of a pattern, then you might be willing to tear out of your Bible any references to being married if you're not married. Well, what is it the Word of God to say to you if you are not actually married? Take those pages out. Or if you're not a parent and it speaks about how to raise children, well, what information could you possibly share or glean from that, seeing as you've never had a child? Too bad if you're a teacher and you're not able to appreciate what the Scriptures tell you about that. And the list seems to go on and on and on. And of course, none of us here, at least not as far as I'm aware, are slaveholders. So take that passage right out of your Bible as well. Well, by the time you've taken out all the passages which don't speak to somewhat overweight, graying, white pastors in North America in the 21st century, I'm only left with half a dozen verses to preach from, because those are the only ones that are left to me. Well, of course, if we are coming to Scripture, we're always asking the question, what is this got to say to me? Even though it may not be apparent immediately to me that this has a reference to me, we want to delve deep into the Word of God and make the applications which we can. And so our text this morning, as we do our occasional series in the book of Proverbs, we come to Proverbs chapter 25, and in particular, I'd read to you the verse. Verse 2. The glory of kings is to search things out. The glory of kings is to search things out. So if you are reading that verse and say, well, I'm not a king, let's move on to the next one. Just stop for a moment and ask yourself, well, are there applications which, although I'm not a king, I could still make to my own life? Well, the context seems to have been, and the verse 1 set tells us, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. Well, I don't think it's stretching Scripture too far to posit the possibility that during the clean-out of the temple, in the reforms of Hezekiah, in some forgotten storeroom of the temple, those that were tasked with cleaning out the temple came across a bunch of scrolls, and they were brought to King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah recognized them as being the Proverbs of King Solomon, and worthy of being retained, and now in our Scriptures preserved down through the generations. How we can overlook the Word of God, and it becomes lost to another generation until God in His gracious providence brings it once more to our attention. I do hope that, especially you who are parents and raising your children, that there is a goodly, godly dose of the Proverbs in the education that you give to your children. These are the wisdom of God set before us, and we do well to reflect and meditate and apply them to our own lives, but also help our children to understand how they can be applied to their lives. So, we read this proverb from King Solomon, the glory of kings is to search things out. And if we're tempted to say, well, I'm not a king, let's move on, then my response is, not so fast. Let's think about what the Word of God has to say. The glory of kings is to search things out. Why? Why would the king, who has so many responsibilities, be searching things out? Just to satisfy his curiosity? Well, perhaps we would search out things just to satisfy our curiosity. And God has made us curious beings. We do search things out. And we bless the Lord for that curiosity of spirit that has led to so many inventions and so many discoveries. But why the king in that case? Why not just, we all are curious beings, and it's the glory of curious beings to search things out. Why the king? Well, the king needs to know what's going on. And I want to make a distinction between information and intelligence. Intelligence, sort of CIA kind of. You're going to get the attention of some of the congregation. Central Intelligence Agency. Are they about finding things out? Well, we certainly hope that they're doing some finding of things out. If the enemies of the country are purposing to do us harm, we want them to find that out. Well, is that intelligence or is that just information? Well, there's a distinction to be made between information and intelligence. Let me illustrate that. Supposing I were to tell you that I've just seen that there are twice as many Secret Service agents on the roof of the White House. What conclusion would you draw from that? Oh, there's twice as many secret agents. You might be thinking to yourself, perhaps there is some credible threat against the life of the president, and so they're doubling up on those who are guarding him. And then somebody asks you another question. What time was it? Oh, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, says that knowledgeable individual, at 2 o'clock they change over. The Secret Service agents on the roof. So there's twice as many people because those that have been on all morning are being relieved by those who will be on the roof all afternoon. Oh, so there's no threat to the president? No, the only threat is that those that have been on the roof all morning will be late for lunch. No big deal after all. The information actually remains the same, doesn't it? The intelligence part is understanding what the information means. The king has a basic need for information, to search things out, to use resources, to find out what the facts are, to know what's going on. And indeed, the higher the office, the more important it is that those who are in charge have accurate information. But just kings? Anyone with any responsibility. And if you are the only one to whom you have a responsibility, then that's sufficient. Perhaps you don't have a family to look after. Perhaps it's just yourself. Well, you would do well to search out things so that you can make the right decisions for you. Making a decision. What college should you go to for studying, perhaps, or buying a car? What is the car that will suit your needs the best? A house, major expense. Who you will marry? What you will invest in? You gather up the information, and then you seek to make a decision. There's a need for accurate information. Is that house that you're thinking of buying built in a swamp? Is that truly where you want to live? Is that accessible for work or for play? You need to interpret the information. So it's not just knowing facts. There's a second element there. There's an analysis that is required. And that's the difference between a raw fact and intelligence. So when the king has to search things out, it's not just information that he's looking for. He's looking for how that information is applied and what it means. If, for instance, or for example, Russia stations a lot of soldiers on the border of a particular country, what does that mean? That's information, but what is the intelligence? Is it Russia just about to invade? Just to threaten without desiring to invade? Applying pressure? Applying pressure to whom? To the country? Or to the country's friends? Well, these things have to be worked out. That's what the king is saying. The king is searching things out. Not just information. You know, lots of information. But unless there's an accurate analysis, that information may result in bad interpretation. Well, have you ever been in a position where you thought you knew something and you have said or done something as a result, only to find later on that you were acting on a misunderstanding? You had information, but you misunderstood what lay behind it. Well, I suspect that each and every one of us has been in that situation at some point. We've heard something, and we think we've got a grasp of what's happening. We make a response to it, only to find out later that we've totally misunderstood, and we've said something that we ought never to have said, simply because we didn't understand. The glory of the king is to search things out, to find out what's going on, to have an analysis which helps them to make an application and say, this is what's going on, this is what lies behind it. I'm not making assumptions on the basis of what I have heard. The glory of the king is to search things out so that he understands what's actually going on. Information is not intelligence. Information plus analysis, thinking it through. Now that is what is true intelligence. Well, perhaps you can make a practical application of that for yourselves. The king may be making a decision which will affect an entire nation or the nations round about. But just because you're not a king doesn't mean to say that you're not making decisions yourself, for your family. We search things out. We marshal the facts. We analyze the situation. And if we're not accurate in those things, then all sorts of bad things may happen. Now, if I mention the name Blockbuster to you, I think if you're not a teenager, you've probably never heard of Blockbuster. It was a big company with many stores, seemingly in every town. But now there's no company called Blockbuster anymore. You don't see the familiar, for those of us of advancing years, you don't see the sign out anymore. Why not? Bad choice in their business model. They continued to rent videos and DVDs when people were streaming. No need for videos and DVDs anymore. No Blockbuster anymore. The information was available to Blockbuster. Other people made other decisions. But they made a disastrous decision, and the company no longer exists. You see how, you know, when we're looking at these things, the glory of kings is to search things out. And when we don't do that, and it's not just kings, it's those that are making important decisions for their businesses. We have a number of business people in the congregation. Very easy to make a bad choice and find yourself suffering as a business as a result. But every parent here knows that we can make decisions which will inevitably have an effect upon our children's lives. And that responsibility is a daily burden which parents have. What's the best thing for me and for my family? And I don't have to be a king to make application of this proverb for the life of my own family. We make decisions, but we don't do it, at least we shouldn't do it, just simply on the spur of the moment, because that's what's easiest, that's what's simplest, that's what appeals to me most. The king searches out the things. The glory of the king is to search out things. And if you are a father or a mother, then searching out things is something that you're responsible for doing as well. And it's in God's providence that here we are on the last day of the year. We're looking towards the year which will soon be upon us. And we're asking for that blessing which we always seek at this time of year, that whatever 2022 has in store for us, whatever the next year has in store for us, that we move forward as those who would make wise decisions. So there's the sort of the final aspect of the application of this. The glory of the king is to search things out. He has to know what's going on. He has to have an understanding. It's not just knowing the facts. It's understanding what's going on, what lies behind it, analyzing it, and then making a decision. And that decision then takes us forward to what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's not just kings that have that responsibility. We might say that they have it supremely because they have responsibility for the entire nation. So we could insert there the president. The glory of the president is to search out things. But this has application, even if we're not kings or presidents, to you and to me. Even if I'm the only one for whom I am responsible. If you're a young, single man or woman, and you think, I don't have a family that I'm responsible for, yet you are responsible before God for yourself. So there's the application then. Fathers, perhaps especially, making decision for his family, making decision for yourself, an employer, making decision for those who are in his employ. And then there's one final way in which we should be exploring the application of these. Not always is the decision so easy for us. How do I know which of two possibilities that may be set before me is the best? How do I decide? Well, it's normally my custom that when we read the first lesson, and then as I read the second lesson, I'll explain to you why I've chosen that particular part of Scripture to assist in our understanding of the part that we're going to be examining. Well, we read from the Sermon on the Mount. And in that part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, don't be anxious. And ends up in that portion by saying, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Well, that's how it was put in the Bible that I read when I was growing up, and that's how I remember it. Well, what is Jesus' counsel to you and to me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So as we explore what it means to say that the glory of the king is to search things out, we may find ourselves with an important decision. And we can't do everything which we might want to do. Some are mutually exclusive. Well, which one do we go for? We're looking for what is best for ourselves. And if we're parents, we're more than likely, I trust we are, has our default setting thinking, what's best for my children? Well, how am I to know what's best for my children? That job offer that comes up but takes you away from home. And you know that you will be financially much better off if you take that as an option. But it comes at a cost. Seek ye first more dollars? Is that what our Bible says? Well, quite clearly it does not. Nothing remotely like it. And sometimes that choice will be to, in other ways, to our seeming disadvantage. We will be worse off financially, but we'll be better off in other ways. And it may be in the context of what would be best for our children. What will be best for our family? To take up that rather good job that is far removed from family and friends. Is that what has to happen? Are there no other jobs? Or are we saying that actually being the company of family and friends, and in that circle we must include surely those who are our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus, being in fellowship with them, that is no small blessing. And though the world might say, seek ye first gold, the Christian says no. Here is the touchstone. This is what will help me make the right decision. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So in making the decision, I have a means by which I can separate out that which would be ultimately the best for me and for my family. We have a goal in mind, and that goal is the kingdom of God. Inevitably, that will eliminate some possibilities, and it will sharpen the distinction between others. Well, such is the proverb of King Solomon, I suspect, discovered by somebody cleaning out a forgotten room in the temple and handed over to Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah orders his scribe, add this scroll to the list of proverbs of King Solomon. But there is something else in the verse. The glory of God is to conceal things. And that is set in stark contrast to everything that we've been thinking about thus far. It's the glory of kings to search things out. But the glory of God is to conceal things. What is it that God is seeking to conceal? What does God conceal? I racked my limited intelligence, my little brain. I can only think of one thing in the whole of Scripture that God speaks of as hiding or concealing. And that is the sins of those who come to him in Christ. And boys and girls, I do desire that you take the wisdom of the book of Proverbs, and though you are as yet children, one day, if the Lord should tarry, I trust that you will have families of your own, and I hope that you will adopt the wisdom of God's word and how you can seek first the kingdom of God. Although you may never be a king, and don't think any of us here are really terribly eligible for that role, whatever responsibility God places upon your shoulders, that you will remember this counsel coming from God's word. But there is something else here in the word of God. The glory of God is to conceal. And though I'd have you remember the wisdom of God's word, even more than what we've been considering, the glory of the king, I would have you remember and have God write upon the fleshy table of your heart the truth concerning God's dealing with sin. There are three ways in which God speaks about his dealing with sin. He talks about concealing us. And perhaps, boys and girls, even yesterday, mum or dad came into the room and they had one hand behind the back. And you know that they have a present for you, but it's concealed. They're not showing it to you. It's out of view. Boys and girls, God says that he will take your sins and he will place them behind his back. What's God saying? I will put them where I'm not looking at them. I will put your sins where I will not see them. Another illustration that God uses is that he'll take our sins and he will cast them into the depths of the seas. And that's another way of God picturing for us that when something falls into the sea, it's gone. In my time in the Navy, there were a number of things that went into the deep, never to be seen again. Some of them intentionally, some of them not so intentionally. But once they were over the side, we would see them no more. And that's what God says about our sins. He will take your sins. One picture places them behind his back so he will see them no more. Or he'll take them and draw them, in the picture, draw them into the depths of the sea and they'll become irrecoverable. You'll never get them back. Lord, I don't want them back. And there's a third way in which God speaks about our sins. He says he will remember them no more. Now be careful in the way in which you read Scripture and read it accurately. He doesn't say he will forget them. God can't forget anything. He's saying something different. He's saying, I will never remember them. Once you have confessed them and I have forgiven them, I will remember. I'm not bringing them back up. And perhaps we have friends, even members of our family. And the moment you step and do something wrong, you hear about it. Remember the time that you did so and so? Yes, I do. And I asked your forgiveness. And I thought we had dealt with it. I thought you would remember it no more. That's what God says to us about our sins. I will remember them no more. How can wretched sinners who have broken the law of God in every way come and sit at the table of the Lord? What right have you and I as sinners to come into the presence of a holy God and eat and drink? We have no right of our own. We come because the God whom we worship has declared that he will remember our sins no more, that he will cast them into the depths of the seas, that he will place them behind his back. And they will no longer be in view. The glory of the King may indeed be to search things out. But the glory of our God is to conceal. And so this day, on this the last Lord's Day of this year, we are bid come to his table to eat and to drink, made fully conscious that though our sins are indeed as scarlet, we shall be as white as snow. We come not because we have earned the right, but because our Redeemer bids us come. And in answer to that sweet call, we come to his table and partake of Christ to the glory of God. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we mark the wisdom of King Solomon as he gave counsel, not just to kings, but all those who have responsibility of whatever level. The glory of a king is to search things out. We ask, Father, that thou wouldst write this counsel upon our hearts. And seeking first the kingdom of God, make decisions which honour thee and which will be for thy glory and for our advancement in grace. But even more, Father, we thank thee for this thy word, that thy glory is to forgive sins, to put them out of thy sight. How great art thou, Lord our God, kind beyond measure, gracious beyond our understanding. We thank thee that thou hast bound us together as those who know thee and love thee, and that on this day, the last Lord's Day of this year, we come to thy table because thou hast bid us come. So, Father, write with thy finger upon our hearts. For this we would ask in Jesus' name. For his sake. Amen.